Hi, we're glad that you're here. This is Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. Well, we're bringing this series called Building My Life on Values That Last to a close. Today, Rick's going to take a final look at how we can apply the biblical principles of trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love to our lives. Well, I can't wait to hear what Rick shares today in the final part of the message called Showing Fairness.
There's a fourth reason why God allows injustice and unfairness in the world, and that is because it can build character. It can build character. Now, character is never built when things are easy. Character is built in the tough times of life. The Bible says suffering produces character. Now, when I had you write down the phrase, it can build character, would you circle the word can? Because I'm not saying that it does build character. I'm saying that it can build character. Suffering does not automatically produce character. It only produces character when you choose to respond to it in the right way. I know a lot of people who've suffered a tremendous amount, and they have no character at all. They're bitter, cynical, dried up, shriveled heart human beings. Why? Because instead of becoming better through the suffering, they've become bitter through the suffering. So all suffering does not automatically build character. It only builds character if you choose to respond to it in the right way. As an example of somebody who's responded to the unfair situation and events of life and remained sweet and actually has grown through these experiences, and I wanted you to hear her story today, would you give her a warm welcome? Go for it. One more time. Be praying for you.
I'd like to share some lessons God has taught me about handling situations in life that just don't seem fair. And I want to share how God has continually shown His love and faithfulness to me when I face problems beyond my control. As a child and a teenager, I lived a fairly normal life. I was full of life and energy and dreams, and at the age of 19, I was in love and engaged to be married. But then something started happening to my body. I just didn't feel the way I used to, and after a series of many tests, I was given the bad news. Just as I was ready to be married, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. I quickly learned that life isn't always fair. Why should I have to deal with a crippling disease at the beginning of my married life when others didn't have to? There was no good reason for why this was happening to me. It was simply unfair. In spite of this shocking news, our wedding happened as scheduled, and Tim and I were married. We were sure that we had a love so strong that even MS could not tear us apart. As time passed, our love produced two beautiful daughters, Carrie and Kobe. My girls are the most valuable gifts given to me from God. Although my health continued to deteriorate, I was determined to not let my limitations stop our family from enjoying life to the fullest. We camped, we went to the river, we had many family get-togethers. All of us had to work very hard to lead an active life because my disease caused many limitations. But God taught us how to be patient, considerate of each other, and to love in a very special way. Our family was quite a team. I didn't cry when Kobe wasn't here. But inside myself, I was fighting a bigger battle. I was totally driven to hide my inadequacies from my husband. I didn't want to be a burden to him, and I didn't want to hinder our active life. It didn't seem fair that my limitations should limit my family, too. So I became very creative, and I learned to mask my pain in order to maintain a normal, active lifestyle. Honestly, I succeeded in this challenge for about 10 years. But the chain of events that occurred over the next 5 years made it impossible for me to continue this charade. During the progression of my disease, I went from using a cane to using a walker and now using a wheelchair. At each stage, it didn't seem fair. Then one day, my husband was injured in a water skiing accident, which left him temporarily disabled too. Now we were both in wheelchairs. To Tim, this really seemed unfair. Why was God allowing this? But oddly enough, at that moment, our circumstances seemed to be very fair to me. It was a one time in our marriage when I felt we were equal. I fondly remember coming home with groceries and loading them on the back of our wheelchairs, and then racing to the front door to see who could get in the house first. Shortly after Tim's recovery, I was given a glimmer of hope about my health. I was allowed to try an experimental treatment that was supposed to put my MS into remission. However, the treatment was unsuccessful. In fact, all it did is make things worse. I lost 80% of my hair and all of my energy. I was so discouraged I wanted to die. It was another big disappointment. I felt that life was so unfair that I had many thoughts of killing myself. I cried out to the Lord daily, but my depression and pity, I couldn't hear his answers. Because I had no energy anymore, there was nothing left to give to my marriage. So our relationship drifted. The stress and the burden of these experiences caused a great strain on our marriage. At this vulnerable moment, another woman entered Tim's life. She was young, able-bodied, and healthy. She was able to give to Tim what I no longer could. That was really unfair, and it hurt me deeply. A divorce concluded our marriage. Once again, circumstances that I could not control conspired against me. The pain, the anger, and the self-pity I felt was greater than I thought I could ever bear. It has now been 8 years since my divorce. During this time, God has taught me many wonderful lessons, and all the while, He has been by my side, leading me and softening my heart. The first lesson I've learned is that the only way to freedom and contentment when faced with unfairness is forgiveness. As Pastor Rick says, bitterness always hurts you more than the person you resent. I cannot hold on to my hurt and be happy at the same time. The second lesson I've learned is to keep my eyes on God, not my unfair circumstances. Throughout the years, my recipe for handling unfairness has been to look beyond the frustrating problems and look into God's loving eyes and feel His comforting arms. I've learned to trust God's wisdom and plan to be content with each moment and experience God gives me. Only He knows what I need to build my character and to become more like Him. My lifesaver from the very beginning has been my constant communication with God and what I'm feeling and experiencing. This has helped me form a closeness and a friendship with God that grows sweeter with each day. With each struggle and step I have endured, He has held my hand and led my way. Honestly, I don't think anyone can handle the major heartbreaks in life without trusting God. You may survive the hurt without Him, but you won't grow without Him helping you. A third lesson I've learned is to allow other people that God brings into my life to help me. God never meant for us to be totally independent of each other. Since my disease is at the stage that I'm unable to care for my daily personal needs, I've had to learn to depend on others. None of us like to feel vulnerable, but my situation has forced me to trust and depend on caregivers. Believe me, you feel very vulnerable when you have to lie in bed awaiting the arrival of a caretaker for up to 5 hours. I'm unable to get out of bed on my own, unable to shower, get dressed, or use the restroom, or even get something to eat. When you can't do even the simplest tasks, you learn the value of other people. Unfortunately, I'm afraid most people never learn this important truth. They take the people in their lives for granted. Another lesson I've learned is to keep stepping out in faith. You have to take risks. You can't pull back into a shell with your hurt. In spite of your limitations, in spite of my limitations, God has helped me manage a home, finances, and raise my two teenage daughters. About two years ago, it became apparent to me that I was financially unable to live in my home any longer. It was very difficult to leave our home of 18 years where I had raised my children and lived most of my married life. But with lots of help from friends and family, my youngest daughter, Kobe, and I moved into an apartment. My trust in God gave me the courage to create a new and loving home. This year, God has put on my heart to take another step of faith out of my comfort zone and start my ministry. There are many things I can't do due to my circumstances, but that does not excuse me to do nothing at all. As Pastor Rick says, if you are a Christian, God expects you to have a ministry. Part of my ministry is to make myself available to tell others how God can help us find joy, even when life or others treat us unfairly. Finally, I've learned the importance of maintaining a joyful attitude and appreciating God's goodness to me in so many ways. I love blue skies, puffy clouds, flowers, birds, and butterflies. They are truly God's treasures to me. Once I was waiting for a caregiver to arrive to help me out of bed, and God knew that I was feeling down. At that very moment, across my TV screen came a scene of blue skies, clouds, and sunsets. I saw bright colored flowers and a butterfly so brilliant with the color of blue that there was no doubt in my mind that only God could have created it. As my eyes were filled with God's love, I thanked Him for knowing my heart and what I needed at that very moment. In closing, I want to say something to those of you who are feeling lonely or discouraged or rejected or feeling like life has treated you unfairly. No matter what you are going through right now, if you will give your life and your situation to Jesus, He will turn it around and use it for good in your life. As the Bible says, God will make all things work together for the good for those who love the Lord. It has been amazing to me how God has turned situations in my life that seem impossible and hopeless into victories. He will do the same for you if you trust Him completely. Listen to this poem that has given me great comfort. The name of the poem is Abiding Joy. There are times, Lord, when you lead me to the mountain to rejoice. There are times you give my heart a song and my happiness a voice. There are times in the valley when it's difficult to praise. But then you point me to the splendor of my ordinary days. There are times when shadows fall and the darkness seems to hide your light. But then your love comes gently like a star upon the night. There are times of exaltation, simple quiet moments too, and I live to celebrate them all because of you. Thank you.
Oh, you
Thank
did it.
You.
Terrific.
It was a privilege.
That was great. Bless you.
You probably haven't gone through what Donna did, but you've gone through some unfair experiences in life, and you've thought, why me, God? Why did this happen to me? I didn't ask for this family that you put me in. I didn't ask for my spouse to have an affair or to walk out on me. I didn't want that divorce. I didn't ask for this illness. I didn't. In other words, you just feel like you've been dealt a bad hand, and it just isn't fair. Maybe there was a business partner who stole you blind. Or maybe you poured yourself into a child and they were ungrateful and actually became rebellious. Or you had a friend stab you in the back. Or you had a parent who mistreated you or ignored you when other people had good parents. Or you had a relationship that died. Or you had a loved one that died when you needed them. Or you had a boss who took advantage of you. The point is that everybody has their own story of unfairness. What does God want you to do when you face the inevitable injustices of life? Because they are going to come. He wants you to do three things. Number one, accept it gracefully. Accept it gracefully with God's grace. Don't be surprised when people treat you unfairly. Jesus said it's going to happen. He says, in the world you will have trouble. And we live in a fallen world. And the Bible tells us this. Don't be surprised at the terrible trouble which comes to test you. Don't think that something strange is happening to you. But be happy that you are sharing in Christ's suffering, so that you will be full of joy when Christ comes again in glory. What's he saying here? He's saying you cannot prevent people from hurting you. You're going to be hurt, but you can choose your response. And so you should see every injustice, every unfair thing, when they got that and I didn't get that. What made them deserve it? I deserve this. Instead, you are to accept it gracefully, rather than becoming bitter or complaining or whatever. Use it as an opportunity to develop character. Number two, respond lovingly. Respond particularly to the people who hurt you. Respond to the offender lovingly. Now, when somebody hurts you, they expect you to retaliate. They expect you to seek revenge. When somebody hurts you, they expect you to fight back and try to hurt them. And God says, I want you to do the exact opposite thing of what they expect. You take the moral high ground. And instead of returning tit for tat, evil for evil, bad for bad, he says, I want you to not try to get even. But you take the moral high ground and you return love to the very people who hurt you, who are unfair to you. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 5, love your enemies and pray for those who hurt you. Why do you do that? Because God tells you to, and because it keeps them from controlling you. One of the great scientists that America's ever produced was Booker T. Washington. And as a black man who lived years ago, obviously he went through many injustices and unfairnesses of life. And one of the quotes that I've never forgotten, that I've always admired him for, was this. He said, I will never allow another man to control my life by allowing him to make me hate him. That's good. That's really good. I will now never allow somebody else to control my emotions by letting them control me in such a way that they make me hate them. He said, I don't have to hate. That's a choice. I can't control the unfairnesses that happen to me, but I'm not going to be a bitter person. I want to be a better person. And I'm not going to let you control my emotions through resentment or hatred. And so I'm going to choose to respond in a loving way. Now, don't misunderstand me. When I say respond to the offender lovingly, that does not mean you continue to allow injustice. On the contrary, we are to lovingly seek justice. We are to work for justice in the world without retaliating, without getting revenge, without seeking to get even, and without trying to hurt the people who've hurt us. Lovingly seek justice. A good example is Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln loved the Confederate States, but he wasn't about to let them continue in slavery. He lovingly sought justice. A more contemporary example would be Martin Luther King, who said, we're not going to fight the evil people who've done things to us. We are going to use nonviolent confrontation, passive, loving resistance. We are going to overcome evil with good. They use whips on us. They put us in jail. They use guns. We're not going to do that. We're going to overcome evil with good. We will return love for the very people who have done evil to us. That's what it means to be like Jesus Christ. Now, as Christians, we have to fight for justice. Look at the next verse, Jeremiah 22. Be fair-minded. Do what is right. Help those in need of justice. In fact, we are to be more concerned about justice for others than for ourselves. Proverbs 29, verse 7 says, the righteous care about justice. And Proverbs 16 says, there in your outline, the Lord demands fairness in every business deal. So what's he saying? He's saying, even when everybody else around you is unfair, you be fair. Even when everybody else around you is ripping off each other, society, the government, and anybody else, you maintain your integrity, you take the moral high ground, you be fair, you do like that great theologian Spike Lee says, do the right thing. Do the right thing. I accept it gracefully, I respond lovingly, and number three, I wait for God's help expectantly. I wait for God's help expectantly. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, a person might have to suffer, even when it's unfair, but if he thinks of God and stands the pain, God is pleased. God is pleased. Now, when you are going through an unjust period, believe me, God's on your side. There is no sin that God judges harsher, except maybe pride, than that of injustice. And all through the Bible, God says, I cannot stand it when people are treated unjustly, when they are treated unfairly. I will defend the oppressed. I will care for those who are treated unfairly. All through Scripture, God has a special heart for people who are treated unfairly, because He is a God of justice. And He hears your cry, and He sees your pain, and He knows you were shafted, you were hurt, you were put down, you didn't get what you thought you deserved. But He has a plan, too. You see, folks, life is kind of like photography. You start with a negative, but you can develop it into a positive. When you take a picture, you snap that camera, you don't have a picture. All you have is a negative. How do you turn a negative into a positive? You take it into a development room, and you shine a light through it on some photographic paper, and it becomes a positive. And when you shine the light on it, you get a full-color picture. Now, you have been dealt some negatives in life. Solomon looks around and he says, you know, I took 5 snapshots of life and my conclusion is negative. But when you shine the light of God's love through your circumstance and you begin to see what God is doing, that He's working on your character, He can turn it into a beautiful picture. You can develop a beautiful picture with the light of God's love in your life. If you don't, you will become bitter, cynical, sarcastic, mean-spirited, and your heart will shrink and shrivel and die. So what does God want me to do while I'm waiting on Him to settle the score? 1 Peter 4:19. If you're suffering according to God's will, keep on doing what is right. And trust yourself to the God who made you, for He will never fail you. Now let me wrap it up with this. You're never going to get an explanation for a lot of the things that have happened in your life that you feel are unfair, at least not in this life. When you get to heaven, you can understand what's going on. But you're not going to get an explanation. God does not owe you an explanation for why one person gets this and you get this. He does not owe you an explanation. The good news is, I don't need an explanation to get on in life. All I need to know is, one, God loves me. Two, God has my best interest at heart. Three, God has a plan. Four, God is going to settle the score one day. Five, if I trust Him and maintain a right attitude, He's going to reward me eventually. The last verse in your outline. These temporary troubles, the ones you have in this life, are winning for us a permanent reward in eternity for millions of years, all out of proportion to our pain. God is faithful. He will reward you if you have a right response to the unfairness of life and you continue to be fair no matter what else anybody else does. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Father, that you're a God of justice. Thank you that you're going to settle the score one day. Thank you that you're in control and in charge. Thank you that you care about the hurts of people here today. And Father, I want to thank you that you don't just give us justice, but you give us mercy. Because God, if you gave us what we deserve, none of us would even be here today. And none of us would stand a chance of getting into a perfect heaven. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. Thank you that mercy triumphs over judgment. Now, why don't you pray? Say, God, you know the hurts that I feel. You know the things that have happened in my life that I resent, that I've questioned, that I wish were different and I've complained about. And I want to ask you to forgive me. Thank you that you're going to settle accounts one day. Thank you that you can use the problems in my life to build character. So today I ask you to help me to start responding in the right way. When I'm treated unfairly, or when I go through an experience that doesn't seem right, would you help me to accept it gracefully, to not become bitter, but to become better? And help me to respond lovingly to people who hurt me. And to be fair-minded and to do what's right regardless of what anybody else does. Help me to be fair in every business deal. And help me to wait for you expectantly to keep on doing what's right, realizing that there will be a reward all out of proportion to my pain that I will get to enjoy for eternity. If you've never invited Christ in your life, say, ask Him, Jesus Christ, come into my life and make yourself real to me and become the master, the manager of my heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus. And I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
I am so grateful for that message by Rick, and I hope you are too. Well, friends, you know, it can be so challenging to keep your eyes fixed on the eternal values found in God's Word. But I know, if you want to live the purpose-filled life that God designed for you, then you really need to know His Word. So Pastor Rick created a special set of scripture cards with key verses from his Building Your Life on Values That Last sermon series. This set of 52 beautifully designed cards will help you memorize scripture, so you can recall God's Word when you need it the most. You can also use them to minister to others, give one to a friend, and write a personalized note of encouragement on the back. And if a scripture really speaks out to you, frame it. Why not? Put them in places where you can read them during the day for encouragement. This set of scripture cards will help you discover a life of true success and significance as you build it on the foundation of God's unchanging truth. And when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the hope of Jesus to a hurting world, please request your copy of the Building Your Life on Values That Last scripture cards. It's our way of saying thank you so much for your support. Go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you could just text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.